You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can get in touch with us by calling or texting. It's the same number. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the site that we in this house still call Twitter. Lots still coming up. After the 10:30 news, we're going to be talking about the top 500 songs of all time as determined by Rolling Stone. And I just want to know, do you agree? Have you looked at them all? Have you memorized them all? I am going to be very interested to bring this up for possible arguments at the Christmas dinner table because there's some new faces on there that I'm very excited about. But we'll be talking about that during Audio Sorbet at 10:35. And then after that, of course, this shouldn't be a thing today. It is the Penny for Your Thoughts edition. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us a Tis Bad Idea. You can send us a story or a guest idea. Jane Says is still up. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. But right now, we are going to be talking about climate. We're going to be talking about getting out there and talking to the people. And we're going to be doing that with our next guest, Amanda Latham, who is a climate outreach specialist for Wisconsin State Climatology Office. And we welcome her to the show right now. Amanda, thank you so much for being here.
Having me, Greg. Happy to be here.
Wonderful. Now, according to all the wonderful research that Tucker does for us, it says you have a background in science communications, having worked as a broadcast meteorologist for 5 years, and you are also a graduate of UW-Madison. Go whatever your mascot is. I've never heard of them before, but I've heard they're a good school. You've been going around the state talking to people about climate, weather, going and educating and listening. Tell me about your job as a climate outreach specialist, and what do you do for that?
Yeah, so with the State Climatology Office in general, I like to say we're the climate version of the National Weather Service. So we're offering climate services to people in Wisconsin. We have tons and tons of records in our office going back to the 1800s. And with all those records, we look at trends in Wisconsin's weather and climate. And my job is to kind of translate that instead of just throwing data at people. I kind of put that in understandable terms for people that we're talking to. So I do a lot of presentations. We do a lot of work with school groups, getting them interested in climate and weather, writing lots of things for our website, putting recent events in historical context, like that big late November snow we just got in southern Wisconsin, talking about how extreme was that. And it was actually pretty extreme. So that's what my job entails.
Well, let me take a moment there and talk about that, because we mentioned it earlier, and I'm of a certain age. I'm somewhere between, 21 and older, where I remember winters being not extreme, but our normal winter was, snow from late October, November, all the way through March. And now, of course, for the past few years, it's been very mild in those last few months of the year and really hits us hard in January and February, along with, like, I call it bone cracking cold weather. What is the difference this year that we're seeing with just, I mean, we got what, 4 storms in the matter of like a month between November and December. What is the, what brings that on?
Yeah. So a lot of it has to do with the position of the jet stream, which is kind of the highway system for all of those winter weather storms. One big thing this year is that we're in a weak La Nina pattern. So we get way into detail with that, but we're looking at water temperatures near the Pacific Ocean. If those are extra cold, that puts us into that La Nina pattern. And then that has a ripple effect in circulations across the globe. And so that really impacts the position of the jet stream. And so with that, we typically can get a little extra snow in Wisconsin when those weak La Nina years.
Kelvin, I know she's professional because she used the term jet stream with confidence. That's how I know that it's whenever I hear a meteorologist use jet stream, I'm like, oh, they know what they're talking about. Now, Amanda, you've been doing road shows and you've been taking them to the rural areas, one place specifically in Rhinelander. Can you tell me about like where this came about, how you came up with the idea, and what you seek to achieve with these trips out in Wisconsin? And is it specifically in rural areas with a purpose?
Yeah, so we wanted to start these roadshows because we are looking at data all the time. And data can tell you a lot, but people can tell you more. The people experiencing those weather events can tell you a lot more about the impacts that they're feeling, how they're trying to prepare for those events. And it really gives us a better connection to that data. And so we wanted to get out specifically in rural Wisconsin, where people don't often get as much contact from bigger groups. We don't often hear as much from rural people in Wisconsin. And we just wanted to see, hey, what impacts are you seeing in extreme weather? Are you seeing changes in climate? How is that impacting you? And then after we're done with all these roadshow meetings, the people putting it together will all meet up and talk, okay, so what did we learn? Mm-hmm. Can we do some research from what we heard from people? Can we offer additional resources? Can we create more tools to help these people based on what we learned from these meetings?
And I think you just said the magic sentence, we listened to the people. Because I think a lot of times when, you're right, the rural area, something we talk about in this show a lot is really how the rural areas of Wisconsin get left behind on a great many things. And weather in the rural areas for our farmers, I would say, I mean, look, I don't like blowing snow. I don't like driving it, but my crops don't rely on the weather either. And when you get people out there who are experts talking to people in your field who are experts talking to people who are literally in their field of expertise, I think that's important to listen to them so you can put together information that will help them in the long run. And what are there any sort of, you know, main themes you hear from these individuals going forth? And also, are they, I don't want to say incredulous or not, like, are they surprised to see you there?
We've only had the one meeting so far in Rhinelander, but mm-hmm. of course we're based in Madison. So Rhinelander is very far away. I mm-hmm. think people were very pleasantly surprised that we made the trip in person to talk with them, because we very easily could have just done a virtual meeting. And so we got a great turnout of people, I think, just because they were so impressed that people from Madison were coming to talk to them and hear from them in person. So that was great. We've had a lot of people talking about flooding at that meeting. That's been a huge issue in the recent decades. There was a big ice storm last spring that took out power in some places for almost a week, multiple days at least. So we heard a lot about that. The low snow winters, what that has been like up in northern Wisconsin, specifically the impacts on tourism as well.
Is there anything surprising you've heard from the people? Something that, you know, you didn't expect to hear as far as a question or a piece of information that made you all take some pause and go, oh, we didn't even take that into consideration?
You know, I don't think so yet. One thing I guess was a little surprising to me, one of the questions we ask is, what is the biggest impact that weather and climate have had on your life? And a lot of people have started to just bring up their hobbies rather than their career, their farms, their mm-hmm. fields, that kind of things. So more of that personal connection of, oh yeah, I can't go cross-country skiing as much. So more of those hobby things that people have been bringing up, which has been really interesting.
And that's something we saw, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, time is a construct, Amanda. I believe it was the winter of 23, which also, by the way, just as a side note, every time I say something like that, I sound so old. The winter of 23. But the winter you remember the winter of 23. There was no winter. But that was the point of it all, was the fact that there was so little snow in the winter of 23, from 23 to 24, that there was funding that had to be secured by the governor and Senator Baldwin, because those businesses that rely on winter sports or winter activities suffered so hard that, you know, they needed help. And luckily there was help. And that leads me into my next question, is the information that you got from this road trip and from future road trips, along with what you do at the Wisconsin State Climatology Office, is it used to help provide information that can provide relief for those, whether it is farmers or business owners, saying, we're going through this thing, here is the data, we need to help them because, say, maybe next year is going to be worse, so we have to prepare. Is that something that can be done with this information?
Yeah, that's the goal, the mm-hmm. ultimate goal when we receive all this information from these roadshows. Again, whether we can create tools, one tool that we've already created with the National Weather Service is a more fine scale frost freeze risk. So mm-hmm. rather than just, oh, your entire county is in a freeze warning, more looking at specific locations in that county, the probability of frost and freeze. And that helps people that work with cranberries, wild rice, just in the general fields. So creating some more of those fine scale, high definition tools to see if we can try to help with that. We're working on one with maple sap. We might create another one just based for wild rice, tools like that. And then also, can we do more education to help with preparedness? What are other areas doing that they could possibly adapt if the funding is there? So yeah, we'll see what comes out of this, but I'm hopeful that we can create some more tools and create more resources for these people in rural Wisconsin.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking to speaking with Amanda Latham, who is a climate outreach specialist for the Wisconsin State Climatology Office. And we're talking about the roadshow they did in Rhinelander, talking to the people in rural areas, getting both educating and getting educated and putting that information for good use to help the communities out there, especially in the rural areas who, as you stated, don't get these kinds of visits, don't get this kind of attention as much as they should. And I'm going to ask a question right now, and it is going to sound both basic, and I don't want it to sound snarky, but I want a good answer, and I would love for an expert to give it to me, because you just said it yourself. How does climate and weather affect people? And so often, weather is conflated with climate and vice versa when we're talking about things like climate change. I don't want to get political, and I won't. But when you want to have a good conversation, say at your holiday dinner table, and you want to talk about these really important issues, how would you, as a person who now stands in front of people and does education, how would you say to them, let me tell you the difference between climate and weather and why they're both important, but they're getting conflated for the wrong reasons?
Yes. The analogy I usually like to use is weather is your mood, climate is your personality. So your mood changes throughout the day, week to week, your mood is very, very different. And so weather changes day to day, hour to hour, week to week. Whereas climate, your personality, it's normal for that to change over time. You know, maybe you're not who you were 20 years ago, but it takes a longer time for your personality to change, just as climate takes a longer time to change. And your personality is more or less the accumulation of your moods. Similar that climate is the accumulation of the weather that a place typically sees. And so, for example, that winter storm we just got end of November, that's weather. We can't point directly to that and say, hey, that's climate change. If we start seeing more of these huge winter storms becoming more frequent in November, then we can start to think, oh, is there a climate tie to this? So when we're looking at climate, our office usually likes to look at least 30 years of data to get a good trend rather than just pointing to a couple specific events.
That's fantastic. I'm going to write that all down and say that directly to my Uncle Gary's face. All right. But I mean, it's again, like, it can get heated, no pun intended, but these are the things I like to talk about with people, and I want to make sure that I'm always conveying the right information. That's why I'm very thankful to have individuals like yourself, Amanda, on the show. And we're going to keep the conversation going, talking about the work that you do with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office. And I want to get to know you a little bit more as far as your background in meteorology and why you chose this, because I've got a good story with one of my coworkers. I want to share it with you, but I want to know more about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. If you have any questions for Amanda, please drop them in the text line. Drop them on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the site that we still in this house call Twitter. And you can always call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, and we are here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Feel free to also leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently broadcasting on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we in this house still call Twitter. We are talking to Amanda Latham, who is correct. It's the climate outreach specialist for the Wisconsin State Climatology Office, and we are talking about a roadshow that you've done in Rhinelander to meet with the people of the rural areas, to find out what they're going through, to give them information as they see fit, and using that to basically help the communities here in Wisconsin, specifically rural areas. And I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about something called WiscoNet. Can you talk more about that? Tell me what that is all about.
Yeah, they're a partner that is putting on the roadshows with us. It's the Wisconsin Environmental MesoNet. So a lot of states have state mesonets. And what a mesonet is a network of automated weather stations across the state. So WiscoNet now has 78 stations. I believe that's the most updated number. They worked hard throughout the summer. I think they have a station in every county. And what they're working to do is create a larger and more accurate weather data grid across Wisconsin. So people have data that's coming from a place that's closer to their home rather than the nearest airport.
And we've seen a lot of, we've seen the weather get put into a lot of tricky places in this past year with regard to the funding of NOAA, the National Weather Service. How are those things affecting you, and how is the Wisconsin State Climatology Office, you know, working forward to making sure you continue your mission in the face of what seems to be almost ridiculous controversy, but still nonetheless, what is being done by your office just to make sure you can still do your jobs?
Yeah, our office is not government funded, thankfully, otherwise we probably would have seen some larger impacts in the last 6 to 9 months. Mm-hmm. So thankfully we're doing okay. We haven't seen any huge impacts. Some of our partners that we do work with have had staff cuts or shortages in funding, but thankfully it's kind of a small climate world, at least in the Midwest. So a lot of different organizations have been able to kind of come in and fill some of those holes and make sure that things are able to stay up and running. But in terms of preparing, we're making sure that we're getting our name out there and that we're having a good impact and having a lasting impact for at least the foreseeable future.
Now, it says here on my prep sheet that you were a broadcast meteorologist for 5 years. What got you into this career? It is something I feel like you do because you love, not just you're like, I think I want to point at stuff on a screen on TV. You really have to love it to do this job, especially get that title, meteorologist.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I don't have a story like a lot of other meteorologists of, I knew when I was 4 years old, I wanted to be a meteorologist. But as I was growing up, I grew up in rural Minnesota. I was just always outside, loved nature, loved being outside and learning about nature. And as I got older and got through high school, I knew a lot about how nature, ecosystems, the environments worked, but what I didn't know a lot about was weather and how that worked. And I slowly started to realize that everyone is impacted by weather, but a lot of people don't actually understand how it works. So it was kind of that curiosity and that drive to educate that drove me into meteorology. So I went to UW-Madison, the Atmospheric and Oceanic Science Department, got my Bachelor's of Science in Atmospheric Science, and then went into broadcast to help people understand the weather, not just giving the forecast, but really explaining why these things are happening.
Well, okay. You may not have known since you were four, but that's a pretty good story, Amanda. I mean, it's using your childhood love of nature, and it's wonderful that you want to educate people. I know that our friend here at Civic Media, Brittany Merlot, her story comes from that she was scared of storms. She told us on the air she was scared of these things and wanted to face it and did it by becoming a meteorologist, and she's a fantastic one. And I love hearing that. I love hearing those stories because to me, if you get into this, into that industry, you have to do it with a passion. I don't think anyone just says, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot. It's because you truly love all of the things you just talked about, which is, you know, research, science, nature, education, people, all of that. And that is a great story, Amanda. Tell it more to people.
Well, thank you very much. I will.
Is there anything that, you know, when you're just in your daily life that folks when you're watching it on TV or hearing it on the radio, what you hear that you're like, we might be getting wrong, or the myths that you want to bust about weather, climate, and just our understanding? What sticks in your craw, Amanda, about this?
I think the one that we already talked about, the difference between climate and weather, a lot of people talking about climate these days, depending on how they're feeling about it, and people just pointing to the wrong things of, oh, that's climate change, or, oh, this winter's been super cold so far, so there isn't climate change. Just pointing at the wrong things and just not really understanding that we need to look at those longer trends and look at more data rather than just a couple little points. And I think that's the thing that's I've been focusing on a lot in my education and outreach.
One more thing before we get out of here. Is there anything we should be looking for in the weather between now and the end of winter? Are we looking at more snow? Or is it going to be more of the same or big changes? Will it not be minus 60 degrees in February? Please, God Almighty, please say so.
I would love to say that. I would love to say, hey, we've gotten winter out of our system and the rest will be a breeze. Unfortunately, I can't say that, but it does look like it will get warmer as we get closer to Christmas. So there's
yes.
something.
I'm fine with warm Christmases. Absolutely. Amanda Latham has been our guest. She is a climate outreach specialist with the Wisconsin State Climatology Offices. Amanda, we really appreciate your time. Appreciate the conversation. And please come back and let us know about more road shows. Do you know when the next one's going to be real quick?
Yeah, the next one is January 21st in West Salem, and then there will be another one in Wisconsin Rapids on February 4th.
Love it. We'd love to have you back to report on what you've been hearing from people, and folks listening here are affected by those conversations. If you can make it to those meetings, please go out and voice your opinions. Amanda, appreciate your time. Have a wonderful holiday. Take care. Stay warm. It's getting warmer, someone told me, but yeah, it's great to talk to you.
Thank you. You as well.
All right, coming up after the break, we're talking about the 500 greatest songs as decided by Rolling Stone. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you think, I'm still going to buy the Beatles' White Album on DVDs? It's fine. It's fine. All right. We come back. More on Matinee on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you want to get in touch with us, the number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently broadcasting on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Very, very good show we've had so far, Calvin. What do you think about it? I've had a blast so far today.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I think I'm going to sign up for the Civic Games.
Calvin, buddy, it's for high schoolers.
Well, maybe me and you can start the Civic Games Civic Adult Games.
New name for that. No, we're not doing that one either. We'll do the Civic Media Civics Games, and it will be more like the Hunger Games, where if I don't want to do it, I just have someone else play for me because I just, you know, I'm tired most of the time. But yeah, we had a great conversation with Eve Galanter about the Civics game. We talked to Amanda Latham about climatology, what their office does, and I encourage you, if you can't hear those interviews and conversations live, go to civicmedia.us/shows, look up Matinee on Air, and you can find a backlog of many, many months. And you can hear interviews that we did with Jane as well before she retired last week. But there's a great treasure trove of information, great discussions with great people there. So go to civicmedia.us/shows. And if you can't listen to us on terrestrial radio, you're on the go. You can always download the free Civic Media app. It's app. Absolutely free. See what I did there? Pun. Go to wherever you get your apps, download it to your device, and that way you can take us on the go. You can listen anywhere in the world. My goal, we've gotten people from Vienna, from Punta Cana, from New Zealand, East Brunswick, New Jersey. My goal is to get someone on the International Space Station. If that's how satellites work, to have someone listen to Civic Media on the International Space Station, that would be my absolute goal. I turned 50 in a few years. Make that happen, somebody who works here. But yeah, you can always take us with you. Listen, stream, pick your favorite station, WAUK. And you can listen to us anywhere you want. And you can also get great updates from what you want to hear, whether it's sports, whether it's local news, whether it's politics. You can get that all through the Civic Media app right now. And something we haven't talked about in a while, Calvin, it's very cool. It's not brand new, but it's fairly new-ish. It is the Civic Media newsletter, Civic Media Today. It's absolutely free as well. Go to Civic Media Today, Substack.substack.com, Civic Media Today. Substack.com, and you can subscribe. It's a great distillation of all the day's news, stories, podcasts, whatever's going on that day, you're going to hear about in the Civic Media newsletter. But that's Civic Media Today. Substack.com. Subscribe. And if you could, and this is a special request, tell a friend about us. Because we're out here in the community trying to have great conversations. We want you to be part of that conversation. And that conversation now takes us to a part of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where if you are a veteran to the show, you know, it's where we talk about some fun stuff. If you don't know about it, welcome. We're going to talk about some fun stuff. And Rolling Stone just released their top 500 songs of all time. And I was looking through this list, and I got to say, I was very surprised by some of them. And I'm very excited by others. I mean, it's a very long list. We're not going to get through them all today, Calvin. I'm sorry. We'll do 500 through 525. I'm just kidding. No, we're just going to look at it. But basically what I want to know is, does your song fall on the list? Do you have songs you think should be on the list? Do you think these are just, you know, whatever? They're like awards. Who cares? But, you know, what do you think about this? Do you have songs that you want to put into the greatest songs of all time's time capsule because you feel like they deserve it and they hold a special place? What is your, maybe your top five songs? Love to hear that. And you can text us. 855-752-4842. You can do that through the app, by the way. You can call or text to the app. I want to know your favorite songs. And do you agree with these lists? Starting at the top, I'll just start at top number 500, Kelvin. It's Harry Styles As It Was. And I got to say, first of all, it's a banger. And I kind of feel good for Harry Styles. Like, that's to have that, like, of all the songs that have ever been created and you're on this list, that's got to be pretty cool, don't you think? Are you a Harry Styles fan?
I would not call myself a fan.
Mm-hmm.
There was one album when I was in college, my junior year, when I was about 21, 22, I got really into music where like I was going to listen to everything.
That's a college thing you can try to do. Like you can say like, I'm going to do this whole thing. And then when you turn to your 40s, you're like, I'm going to listen to this Pink Floyd record and that's it.
Yeah. But so Harry Styles has one record. It's the album with Watermelon Sugar High on it. Okay. I like that album.
You like
That's
that?
Really the only one I've actually ever listened to.
And it's interesting because, I mean, again, we talked about this earlier with Eve. I don't like to disparage young people. That's not my role in life. And I think that generational squabbling is ridiculous. But I also feel like people, like especially Gen Z, very much a singles generation back, like, because back in the 40s and 50s, that's, you bought singles. You didn't really buy records a lot because they weren't promoting records. They were promoting their singles. I feel like that's where we're at now, where, you know, you as a young person will go on your phone and you'll download various single tunes from artists versus going into a whole record. I might be wrong. Am I wrong in that, Kelvin? Are more young people finding their way into full album experiences?
I think you are correct in your perception about the general population of people my age. I think I'm unique. I enjoy albums. I think when I think of my favorite songs, they're usually in the context of my favorite albums.
Okay.
So I do think I'm probably a bit of an oddball. I know my brother and even my friends that just like, when a new album comes out, they'll listen to the whole album, but they'll only add the songs they like to their library, which...
I mean,
I add the whole album and then I just don't listen to the ones I don't like. But yeah,
I'm what they call a completist. I don't like to have, like, I think when it comes to things like country music, I'll have singles because I mean, there's just, I mean, you know, Merle Haggard put out like 40 records in 15 years. I'm not buying all those records. That's a lot to take in, but I understand that. And then, you know, if that is your thing, that you like the full album, if you like just the singles, I say go for it. I know that for me personally, there are times where the single, and I'm going to use the debut album from Franz Ferdinand as an example, I listen to that single over and over, and then I listen to the next song, those two songs over and over, and it's sort of expanded in every direction on that record, so that whole album for me is beautiful and a great, great listen, but it started with those singles and I like kind of dipped my toe into the whole thing. And now it's just, I love that album. I love that band. Jenny on the live stream says, I love full listen through albums. I agree. And let me know, what is an album for you that is, you know, I can't just listen to this song. I got to listen to the entirety of Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd. I talk about Pink Floyd a lot because I love that band, but we're talking about the top 500 songs from Rolling Stone. It's an eclectic list. Not the, honestly, I gotta say, when you get down to the top like 20, not the ones you see, a lot of Rolling Stones, a lot of Beatles, a lot of Led Zeppelin, but it's not, they've really taken into account the, you know, the modern trends, the last, you know, few decades of music to really make that list, I feel like, more applicable to everyone. And one I want to point out really quick is number 487, which is Solange. And if you don't know Solange, she is the sister of someone you may know. Her name is Beyonce. This is Beyonce's sister. And I feel like people sleep on Solange a lot. I feel like she is someone who has put out, you know, whereas Beyonce has absolutely put out records to fit her desires, whether it's country, whether it's pop, whether it's art. She does her thing, but Solange is in a different avenue where she gets really into, like, she'll get really big into rock, very big into art, like, and she flies under the wire, but she's highly acclaimed. And I really think that if you love good rock, soul, R&B, Solange is always a great pick for what to listen to. And I feel like more people should know about her. But I was very surprised, Calvin, to see, like, we're looking at the, you know, I thought that the top 10 would be like three Beatles songs. And there's only one Beatles song in the top 10, which is Strawberry Fields Forever, which I thought was absolutely crazy. Because usually when these come out, it's like the Beatles take up four of the 10 spots, but it's not this time. It's very, do you know what the top one is? Did you look at the list at all?
I have looked at the list.
Okay. Were you surprised by what they picked as the number one song?
I guess I'm not super surprised by the number one song. I'm a little bit surprised by two and three, I guess.
Okay. So we'll go right to the top because it's, if this was 20 songs, we could get through it, but this is 500. We're not doing all of them. Before that, PJ on the live stream says REM's Automatic for the People is one of my favorite listen through albums. That is a fantastic album as well. I would put up any REM record. Life's Rich Pageant is my favorite one from them. They never put out bad music in my opinion. It was different at times, but it was always good. But we'll do the top three. So we'll start with number three, Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come. I feel like that is I'm happy it's in the top 10. I'm kind of surprised it's in the top five just because of all the music. But that song is very important because if you know the story, Bob Dylan wrote Blowin' in the Wind, and when Sam Cooke heard that song, he felt like he should have wrote that song because he felt like he needed to make a number about the social changes. Because before this song, Sam Cooke was a party guy, fun songs about love and loss and dancing and stuff like that. And when he heard Blowing in the Wind, he said, I should have written that song. I'm going to write something. And he wrote A Change Is Gonna Come. Unfortunately, it came out after he passed away. But that is what is number three on the list. And Sam Cooke is my favorite American vocalist of all time. And so I'm really happy about that. Number two, I'm very excited about, Calvin. Do you know anything about this group?
I am aware of who they are. I have a little bit of a funny story about them.
Okay. Well, number two is Public Enemy, Fight the Power. And just so you are aware, everyone, what went into this, it was like 250 artists, writers, and industry figures helped them choose this full list. So it's not just Rolling Stone saying this is what we think. It was an all-encompassing thing. And just for the record also, this is not a brand new, but we found it and we wanted to talk about it. This came out in February of last year, but it's still very apt. It is Fight the Power by Public Enemy. I love this group. I worship this group as a kid. I probably shouldn't have listened to their music by parent standards as a 12-year-old, but a lot of people would probably say that was the perfect time to listen to Public Enemy. What's your story about them?
Yeah, so when I was into my music, I was getting a couple of records, and there was some that were exclusively released through this like subscription service where you had to like sign up and they sent you a vinyl every month.
Yeah.
And I forgot to cancel it.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually have Fear of a Black Planet on vinyl.
Have you listened to it?
It's still in the wrapper. I haven't even unwrapped it.
Calvin, if you do me one favor, give me this Christmas present. Before the end of the year, take it home and listen to the whole thing. I think you will have your mind blown that this music was coming out in 1989. And it is a phenomenal, wonderful record. The number one, I don't think it's shocking. I think a lot of people expected it to be the Beatles because it's usually the Beatles, but it is Aretha Franklin's Respect. Jenny in the live stream says, I disagree with number one. Honorable, but not cutting it for me. I understand that. I think once you get to that top 20, there's arguments to be made about all of them being the best song. But I think that, you know, this list is a very, very overarching representative of music over the past, you know, years. And I enjoy this list. I don't have a whole lot of gripes. We opened and closed with Town Van Zandt's Poncho and Lefty. And I love the fact that that was on the list as well. And Jenny also says, love seeing Joy Division, Talking Heads, David Bowie, and New Order on the. Absolutely. That takes me to high school and college. But tell us more if you tell us about the bands that you think should be on the list but aren't. But for right now, we're going to take a moment. We're going to let sponsors talk. We're going to grab a water, grab a snack, and this shouldn't be a thing. Penny for your thoughts edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media, Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and I am your host, And you're listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. And you can get in touch with us by calling or texting. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. Live stream's been very, very busy today. I really appreciate everyone out there leaving their comments. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the site that we will forever call Twitter. We are very, very happy to have you here today, and we have a great show for you tomorrow. We're going to be talking to Jim Santel's back. We got a lot to go over, including an update on the case against Milwaukee court judge Hannah Dugan. There's more information to convey. There are things happening. I want to be up to speed, and he will give us the details as well as other things going on in the world of law, but he will be here tomorrow at a different time, 9:20, a little bit earlier, but he's going to be around. And then we're going to be talking to Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, as well as Paul Noonan with sports. Cal, real quick, I mean, are the Bucks and the Packers, I mean, it's kind of like it's a shruggy shoulder season situation, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks are the Bucks. The Packers,
You want to say you should, but we've been burned by that before.
They're good, but now Micah Parsons is hurt out for the season. Like, it's just a kind of a curse season, it feels like.
Well, we're going to find out more from Paul on that and kind of maybe get a reality check on, you know, when you're a Wisconsin sports fan, you never live in high-minded boastfulness. You always sit there going, when is this happiness going to end? But Paul will always break it down wonderful for us. And we just appreciate you being here. Stick around for that for tomorrow. Always here 9 to 11. But right now, we got, as always, it's 10:54, Calvin. You know what that means. It's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Calvin and me. See, the singing is back, Calvin. The singing is back for you. I know you like the singing.
I love it, Greg. Music to my ears.
You'll be the first to say that, I guess. But yeah, if you ever have something you want to send us, you can go ahead. Jane says at civicmedia.us is still open and operational. When there's a new email address, we'll let you know. But for right now, send all that information to Jane says at civicmedia.us, whether it's a tisbat, whether it's a show guest, whether it's a topic, send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. We're still getting those emails. But for now, this shouldn't be a thing. Penny for your thoughts edition. I should say penny for your cash edition, because this is the headline from AP. Last U.S. cents, C-E-N-T-S, sold at auction for $16.76 million. As it says, we're worth every penny. Yeah, so if you may not know already, the U.S. government, the mint, will no longer be printing the penny. That doesn't mean the penny no longer has value. You can still use the penny. You can still find a penny. You can still deposit a penny. It's not an invalid coin. It's just they will no longer be making them because the cost of making them outweighs their value at whole. And that's been a conversation, honestly, for years. And if you ask me, I could talk to you for 40 minutes why not only we should have gotten rid of the penny a long time ago, but we should have a totally different way of doing dollar bills and coinage, but that's for another time. But the U.S. Mint sold 232 3-cent sets. So there was 232 sets of three pennies for a whopping $16.76 million at auction last Thursday. The government did this. That's where I get, like, if it was some guy who's like, I have 232 sets of pennies, I'm like, all right, do your thing. But the fact that the government is auctioning off sets of pennies, to me, makes me say this shouldn't be a thing. What was your first thought, Calvin, when you heard this?
Why?
Yeah, there
I mean,
it is.
I guess.
Why?
So I don't even know when my parents, if it was specifically my mom or specifically my dad, it predates my memory of when they started it. We had these card, like really nice cardboard books that you had could put all the state quarters in and like collect all the state quarters. And I think we filled them out and then eventually cannibalized them. Just we need quarters. It's like,
I got to make a phone call to the pay booth.
What are we doing with these quarters? So, I mean, I guess if you, if coins are your special interest, I guess I sort of understand to an extent. But yeah, you just set them in a display case?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a gentleman here, John Kraljevic, I apologize, I did not say that correctly. Kraljevic, director of Numismatic Americana at Stax Bowers, those are the people who sold it, said that it was kind of an auction where you don't know the item's market value until people make their bids. And that's the big thing, too, is to me, it's like, how much do you want to bid? I'll bid 3 cents. It's 3 pennies. I'll bid 3 cents. Thank you very much. He says, I've been going to coin auctions for 40 years, and I can tell you I've never seen anything like this because there's never been anything like this. And that's true. I think they've been selling coins for a long time, but the government selling coins, especially in this, I have to imagine is very, very new. And I think very, very odd. And I want to know what's going to be done with that $16.76 million. And here's the kicker. The last set, the 232nd set that contained the last 3 pennies ever made by the mint, were sold for $800,000. That bidder also got 3 dies that struck those Lincoln cents. To me, that is insanity. But am I going to get a little extra money in my paycheck now because we got an extra $17 million laying around there, Calvin? Do you think that's the case or no?
I'm going to go with no.
All right. Well, we'll keep on asking questions, but for now, that's been another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, traffic. Thank you, engineering. Without you, nothing works. This whole thing falls apart. Without you listening, without you calling, without you texting, we do not exist. We thank you for being a part of the show and giving us your time. We got a great show for you tomorrow. Again, we're going to be talking to Jim Santel. We're going to be talking to Paul Noonan. And we really want you to stick around and have a great day. Listen up, because after the top of the hour news, we've got Tom Hartman. And then great programming throughout the day, including John and Gordy, and then Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You are awesome. Let no one tell you differently. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.